This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
As a man, finding a great pair of pants feels harder than it should. Some look sharp but feel stiff. Others are comfortable but wrinkle, stain, or lose their shape by noon. And if you're working, traveling, or constantly on the move, most pants just cannot keep up. That's where Jack Archer comes in.
JackArcher.com delivers one pair of pants designed for real life. Whether it's golf with the guys or date night with someone special, these pants will keep you comfortable and looking polished wherever the day takes you.
That's right, Mark. The Jack Archer Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built to hold its shape all day. With customizable fit options and multiple colors, these are the one pair of pants you'll want to wear every day.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order with code GETJACK at JackArcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at JackArcher.com for 15% off your first order.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's almost President's Day, and this year I've got a winning strategy for saving big. I'm skipping the phony sales and instead scoring everyday low prices on my favorite pieces from Bob's Discount Furniture. When I shop Bob's, I get more of what I love. More style, more storage, more comfort, more choices, even more years on that precious mattress warranty. All for a fraction of the cost of what you pay at other stores. So this President's Day weekend, stop in or shop online and see how much more you can save when you dare to compare at Bob's.
This is the Best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Big decision on A.J. Brown. And, you know, this will probably manifest in either March or April with free agency, which is now just 5 weeks away, and the NFL draft, which is, basically 2 months away. And there's of course, a good chance that A.J. Brown won't be an Eagle this upcoming season. But today at 215-592-9494 on Decision Week, as each day we bear down on a different Eagles topic, we ask you this question. Do you want A.J. Brown back on the Eagles next season? Yes or no? Why or why not? And put another way, the heart of the question really is, do you trust A.J. Brown? Because, of course, John, in an ideal world, everybody's going to want A.J. on the Eagles because he's one of the most talented offensive players we've seen. And, like, the argument's going to be, get him happy and then roll with him again. By the way, not just for a year, but for, like, 3 more years. But that's not the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter is whether you trust that you can get him happy to trust him. John Ritchie, I turn to you. And everyone today at 215-592-9494. John Ritchie, do you want A.J. Brown back on the Eagles next season?
I've oscillated on this, and it's really difficult for me to look at a guy who I watched not try this year and say, I want him to come back and play for my team. But I do.
Okay.
And I have to try to trust A.J. Brown because he gives us the best possible team. 2004, we would not have had a chance to go to the Super Bowl were T.O. not on our team. I don't want that same experience to be suffered. You know, I don't want that concept to be suffered by this team who could be good enough with AJ, with this new staff, with this new offense.
They have won with an unhappy AJ before.
We've seen it work.
Wasn't exactly happy in 24.
I want AJ because that gives us our best team, and I feel like I'm going to have to trust him, and I'm willing to bet that his talent will be more completely utilized this year with the new offensive coordinating, and that will leave him in a better place. I think last season, a big part of what was going on, and not just the inexplicable rift between him and his former best friend, our quarterback, that part, they got to figure out a way to fix that. But what we saw last year was AJ just gradually fading out, AJ not participating, AJ not running full force on go routes down the field, then AJ not blocking the way he should.
Right.
We can't have that AJ, period. The key factor here is we need the AJ who tries, but I think that Josh Grizzard and Sean Mannion can help bring that out of him. Now, this is the CEO head coach's job as well. This is, hey, Nick, you must get the best from your players. That is what we're asking of you. But it's not a perfect world, and I want AJ here because he can be incredible in all caps.
Right.
No doubt about it,
yeah,
when he's properly motivated.
You're right.
And I believe Sean Mannion can help properly motivate him. And I don't know what's going on with Jalen and his former best friend, but it really is time to grow up. This is a man's game. Let's put behind our petulant, childish, whatever this is that you got going on. You gotta somehow figure out a way to make it work. Not just for you, Jalen. We've heard time and time again, you'll do whatever it takes to win. Last year, I questioned that. Last year, I wondered if you would do whatever it takes to win. Running, using your legs more. That would have helped us win. Do whatever it takes to win here. Smooth it over with your former best friend. The guy who's, you know, godfather. Somehow they're godfathering one another's families. You can fix this. It's not impossible to fix the emotional part. I know it's possible to fix the football part. The football part will be better this year. I don't think it can possibly be worse and less complete offensively. I think that helps AJ. His frustration is lessened because the offense is more complete. The offense can give him a chance to do amazing things. That's what he wanted to do last year, contribute more to the wins. They'll give him that opportunity, believe me. The first 15 with Sean Mannion, you're going to have five of them that he's the number one read. Five plays out of 15 where he's the number one read. He'll probably get it three of those. You won't have these games where we start the second half and he's petulant on the sideline because he hasn't caught a ball yet. It is you do kind of have to manage the personalities. Last year, that fell by the wayside, despite the fact that we have a CEO head coach.
Yep.
He needs to do a better job. AJ needs to do a better job. Jalen needs to do a better job, not just with the football, but with the interpersonal stuff, too.
So
that intelligence is important.
I am curious, obviously, at 215-592-9494, where you stand. Do you want AJ back? And again, it's not as simple as, well, of course I do because he's great. You got to dig a little deeper because it really does go to the issue of whether you trust him. And I will say this, I don't. I don't trust him. And it pains me to say because he's one of the great offensive players I've ever seen. He's one of the five or six best offensive forces I have ever seen the Eagles have. He's clearly one of the three best wide receivers I've seen the Eagles in my lifetime. I'm too young for Carmichael, but, you know, Quick, T.O., and AJ, my top three. Irving Fryer, probably four. Some combination of Fred.
Well, Devontae's up there, too.
Devontae's up there. Yep. Devontae's up there. And then you get to Fred Barnett and you get to Irving Fryer, and that's your group. But, like, AJ, you know, he's really high up there, guys. But
AJ is up there with T.O. in terms of physical ability.
I'm aware. But
and you know what? Nick talked about watering the flowers.
Yep.
Now that we're in the offseason, it's time to prune the weeds. You got to do the work year-round. It's not just during the season.
Yeah, but
now you got to prune the weeds. You got to figure out a way to make that garden hospitable.
So here's one of the conundrums. No, that's the wrong word. Here's one of the problems with the situation. What John was talking about, all reasonable, of thinking that you can get it to work, based on changes. None of that manifests with AJ until at way after free agency in the draft. Meaning, will it work with AJ in a new offense? Don't know. Won't know in March or April.
But you do have the trade deadline during the season.
Yeah, but,
and you need to be honest. AJ, if you don't get in line, we will have to do something eventually. We want you to be with us.
You're kicking the
we
can.
We believe you can do great things for us and help us win another world championship here in this new offense.
Look,
you will be featured. We will run the ball and throw the ball, and we're going to have a more complex offense.
They said
offense.
All that to him the last couple of years.
And they failed miserably. That was a joke last season. That offense was a joke. AJ recognized how just bare minimum and moronic everything was that they were doing. The frustration grew in him. He's trying not to say anything. He's trying to be a leader. By the end of the season, he couldn't contain it any longer. He's out there like,
all right,
what the hell are we doing?
It was the beginning of this season.
Yeah.
He was doing it weeks 1 through 8
week,
or whatever.
Week 3, he asked for so it was reported he asked for a trade after week 3. Here's the deal, guys. I don't think A.J. Brown wants to play with Jalen Hurts. Okay, I do not believe A.J. Brown wants to play with Jalen Hurts. And Jalen Hurts is the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles, at least for 2026. So if I'm Howie Roseman and I need to make an assessment, I'm out on A.J.
Jalen just told us they were in a good place.
It doesn't matter. So I don't trust him. It feels to me, and you run into these situations in sports at times, and life, relationships, dating, working, whatever, there are times where it feels like a situation has run.
You just quit.
It feels like a situation has run its course. This situation to me feels like it has run its course. Now, I will say, I am tempted to keep him in largest part because they won a Super Bowl with a not exactly happy AJ in 24. It can be done. We can't throw that out the window and act like it didn't happen.
Every team that has a good wide receiver has a not exactly happy wide receiver.
But this was extreme.
They're always not exactly happy.
This was extreme. This was extreme.
I've seen this at varying levels.
I know you have.
On every team I've ever played
on. That's fair.
Now, not with James Thrash and Todd Pinkston.
Sure, because they weren't good enough.
Yeah, right.
But I believe A.J. Brown really hurt the 25 Eagles. I believe that. Like, I believe he sucked life out of the team. Because you got to be team.
I believe that too. I think it hurt his position within that locker room. I think previously guys talked about, hey, this is one of our leaders. This is a guy we can depend upon. I think they saw how impetuous he got this year, and there are guys who doubt him now.
Look, I just don't trust him. I want to trust him, but I don't.
I want to trust him, and I think you can
because
the offense will validate that.
Look,
the offense will validate the organization, and he will be much happier because it will be going through him a lot more.
All right, we ask you at 215-592-9494 on this decision week, and it's one of the days within decision week, do you want AJ back on the Eagles? Put another way, do you trust him? We'll get into all that. It's also decision week, and today Nick Sirianni on the hot seat for the show regarding whether he should be on the hot seat for the upcoming season. We'll talk about that. Jason Kelce with us at 7:30. Lots to do. Your phone calls throughout the program on all the topics. 215-592-9494. Richie Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny. Good morning.
Caterpillars have 12 eyes.
How about that? I mean,
six
small eyes.
On a side.
Small eyes, because that's a small animal.
Despite having a dozen eyes, their vision stinks.
Oh.
Well, the eyes only detect light intensity and movement and shadow than forming clear images.
So they're like almost blind,
so
essentially.
So they're almost blind, running around with half a dozen eyes on either side of their head.
Yeah, not good. I'll tell you what.
Like a young John Ritchie minus the extra
true,
eyes.
True, that's right.
True, like minus 10 eyes.
You didn't need 12 of them last night to know the Sixers stunk last night.
No.
Holy hell.
You sure could. It was with 5 minutes left, we were down by 52 points. 5 minutes left, 52 points.
They still almost lost by 40 or whatever.
They also
49.
49, I mean, by 50 is what I meant. Yes, exactly. For those that,
now, listen.
I've never seen anything like
there's
that.
There's a little bit of the caveat. There's no Joel. There's no Paul George, obviously. There's no Grimes.
No Joel is concerning in and of itself, too.
But here's the deal. Today at 215-592-9494, when you call in, certainly would love your thoughts on what was going through your mind while you were watching that Sixers game last night. And let's really get to the heart of the matter, because it is a game where you don't have a lot of your best players, and Joel, who's one of your two best, but you don't expect to lose by 49. Here's the question I got for you today. Does it dampen or crush your spirit and enthusiasm for the 76ers playoff chances when you see them lose over 2.5 hours by 49 points to the New York Knicks?
Playoffs?
Yeah, that's right. Well, they're going to make it. That's right. That's right. So, well done there, Ray. Does it dampen your spirit for the Sixers? No Joel, but you're not supposed to lose by 49. Talk to us at 215-592-9494.
A show-me game, no less.
Yeah. But you knew before the game they were probably going to lose because you knew Joel. You knew Joel was out. But you're not supposed to lose by 49. All right. So all of that on the table. Let's get to decision week. As each day today, this week on WIP, we're drilling down on a different big picture Eagles topic. And today, the head coach, Nick Sirianni, Rhea, it was all those years it was Ava, right, that would put someone on the hot seat with Angelo's show?
Hot seat.
Today on the hot seat, Nick Sirianni. All right, so Sirianni on the hot seat from our show today, but it's from this standpoint. Should he be on the hot seat? Should Nick Sirianni entering 2026 be on the hot seat, yes or no, why or why not? Here's where I stand. No, shouldn't be on the hot seat. Look,
surprise.
Yeah, were you doing a Gomer Pyle right there? I think the Eagles got a really good head coach. And so I understand he may be on the hot seat for the owner and the GM, but if I was the owner and the GM, he would not be. I think they got a good one. We know 2025 went awry. We know his offensive deficiencies are a problem. I'm not saying it's not. It's obviously less than ideal to always, if you have success, have to turn over who your offensive coordinator is because they can get hired away. That's not ideal. But I think he checks a lot of boxes. I think he's got excellent attention to detail, mostly strong in accountability, although less so this year with AJ and Jalen. But
I'd
mostly
say that slipped a lot.
It did. It did
a lot.
Mostly strong in accountability,
self accountability.
Okay, an excellent game manager. Look, I could go on and on, but
excellent game manager is in question. Also, things got wonky a lot.
So I'm pro Sirianni, but I'm curious where you stand. And the question today is entering 2026, which, you know, they are now with the offseason 2026 and then obviously this season. Do you think Nick Sirianni should be on the hot seat entering the season, meaning show it to me, my man, in 26, or you're out? Where do you stand? 215-592-9494. John, where do you stand?
He should be under enormous pressure simply because of the way Jeff Stoutland left. I mean, that alone, that surprising the Eagles organization should be such a major black mark on his resume for all of us. Not just the fans, but the players, the front office. They should look at that and say, hold on, this is the guy who he's got these foundation principles, and at the top of that list is connecting. You know, with his coaches, with his players, that part is somehow forgotten. That was completely mismanaged. That is a major deal for me because that puts us in a worse place than where we were last year at this time. Key factor, we need him to motivate not just the coaches, Jeff Stoutland, properly, but the players. You know, A.J. Brown, we can't have another year like last year, and I know that's AJ. I know that's on AJ, but it's on the head coach also to have your guys under control.
I agree.
I mean, it's the disciplinarian part. It that's the head coach's job, and that seems like it fell by the wayside. So yeah, when you've got a CEO head coach, he needs to manage not just the coaches, but the personalities, sometimes the big personalities of the players that you are coaching. You know, it's not a perfect world. I I still want AJ as my number one wide receiver. If that's impossible this year, I'm sure Howie will figure out a way to maximize this team. You know, Nick has spoken publicly with mixed results through, you know, the past 5 years.
Sure.
We remember the flower discussion.
He went wrong.
Well, okay, whatever.
No, he went wrong.
Really, really powerful.
You got to build.
He talked about watering the flowers. You also have to talk about, you know, weeding the garden when the off season comes, pruning the, you know, the stuff that's not supposed to be there.
Yeah, that's fair. Yep.
Get that garden in shape, and it's time to do that. And right now, they've added Sean Mannion and Kyle Grizzard. And Nick has to figure out a way to Josh Grizzard, connect with these coaches, just like he connects with the players. And now they have to somehow manifest a new offense that works for everyone. That's a huge role. That's a huge endeavor that he's embarking upon. And now, are we judging him this year on how that goes? I don't. My question is, how bad does it have to look for Nick to get fired? Because I don't think it can get that bad. I don't think it's going to go downhill as much as you do this season. I think we still have a ready-made champion defense with Vic Fangio heading it up, and I do think the offense is going to be better. I cannot imagine the offense getting worse. So how bad would it really have to be? They've created sort of.
Well, let me give you an example. Let me give you
a bulletproof alibi. What if it's seven
and 10?
For their preferred head coach?
7-10.
I don't think it's going to be that bad. If it's 7-7, he should be gone.
No, 7-10. I said.
Oh, okay. Yeah, 7 wins is that's so improbable, but that is nowhere close to good enough. So yeah, 7 wins, no playoffs. Yeah, that's a problem for me. He needs to be judged on a different standard. Because of the amount of talent that he's working with. And I think eventually this team, the organization, is going to have to come to the hard realization that part of why Nick Sirianni is here is because he's the opposite of Chip Kelly.
Right.
You know,
that's
like,
right.
That is a big part of what they've done post-Chip Kelly with both head coaches.
Yep.
So eventually the Eagles are going to have to discover that there's a reason that everyone else does the head coach identification process differently, and it does work. It works the Eagles' way, clearly. We've won 2 Super Bowls this way.
Yeah.
But it creates situations that are not optimal. And everyone else, as far as I can tell, they judge their head coaches first and foremost, you know, on things like football acumen and their skill with devising schemes and teaching, and those X's and O's really do matter. I hope if things do go south, the Eagles challenge themselves to reevaluate this whole identification process. I think there's a better way.
So, look, this is a meaty topic. There's a lot here. You know, one of the things that complicates the conversation, as it has with the Jalen conversation for years, is we all know there has been an advantage for both Nick and Jalen with what's been around them. And that has primarily included players, but it's also included at times coaches like Statlin. We all knew at some point they weren't going to have the seismic advantage around them and might not have much of an advantage around them. And the reality is, I think the Eagles are headed into some troubled waters. That's my projection for 26. I do not expect the Eagles to be as good next year as they have been the last few years. But I also know that if I have a good head coach or a great head coach, you're going to run into choppy waters from time to time. And it doesn't mean, for me, this is me, a 7-10 season would be I got to fire Nick. Now, I know a lot of you might think a lot along those lines. I know a lot of you probably don't even think they're going to get to 7-10. I see it as a real possibility for 26. I think they're going to have a lesser team. I expect less. But I'm not going into this. If I was the owner or the general manager saying that my coach is out, for instance, if he like doesn't make the playoffs, I've seen him have a lot of success. I believe he's been a central part of it. Again, the advantages have been real. There's no question. But as you know, if you've listened to our show the last 3 or 4 years, I've been very clear. I think he's better at his job than Jalen. That's me. Most people, when we have that discussion, tell me Jalen's better at his job than Nick. Maybe that changes. Maybe it doesn't moving forward the way people perceive it. I think Nick Sirianni's a freaking heck of a head coach. I really do. But I know a lot of people out there don't think that. We ask you today at 215-592-9494, as you evaluate what Nick is and what he isn't, and as we project toward the 2026 season, do you think, on decision week here on WIP, do you think Sirianni should be on the hot seat entering the 2026 season?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, world? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, chicken farmer, and now host of Free Range. This is a show where I go off the field and off the script. We're talking what's hot in music, film, trending news, and everything blowing up your feed. If you love football, you'll feel at home. But if you're here for the vibes, the internet deep dives, the conversation, this is your podcast. Join me every Wednesday. Follow and listen to Free Range with me, Von Miller, everywhere you get your podcasts.
Buying pants shouldn't take this much effort. Too many options, inconsistent sizing, and styles that don't work across your day. You want something comfortable, sharp, and reliable without guessing, returning, or buying 5 different pairs. That's why there's Jack Archer.
Yes, jackarcher.com simplifies everything with the Jet Setter Tech Pant, one versatile pair designed to take you from work to weekend without missing a beat. Easy to wear, easy to style, and easy to shop for. The Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built for all-day comfort. They stretch, breathe, and hold their shape, giving you a consistent fit and polished look every time. Backed by thousands of 5-star reviews, they're the dependable pants you'll reach for daily.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order with code GETJACK at jackarcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at jackarcher.com for 15% off your first order.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's almost President's Day, and this year I've got a winning strategy for saving big. I'm skipping the phony sales and instead scoring everyday low prices on my favorite pieces from Bob's Discount Furniture. When I shop Bob's, I get more of what I love. More style, more storage, more comfort, more choices, even more years on that precious mattress warranty. All for a fraction of the cost of what you pay at other stores. So this President's Day weekend, stop in or shop online and see how much more you can save when you dare to compare at Bob's.
Well, we'll let the numbers come in today, and we'll see if the numbers come in this offseason for Jalen Hurts as far as his contract goes here.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, Hugh Douglas, as we enter the Eagles offseason, really the NFL offseason with the Super Bowl in the books, the Eagles have a decision to make. In my mind, they don't really have one to make, but they have one to make, especially if the player and his agent ask for it. So as we sit here right now, entering the 2026 season and the new league year, which starts in a few weeks, Jalen Hurts has one more year of guaranteed money left on his deal. Just yes. One. So we're at a kind of a pivot point now with Jalen Hurts and his contract. And this could play out a couple ways, right? The Eagles could just play it out and let it play out, and then they'll figure it out after the 2026 season. Or they could get ahead of this, and if they're truly committed without question to Jalen Hurts, they could just give him a new contract right now. And you know, I heard the morning show discussing. I heard Elliot. We'll talk about some of what he said earlier in the morning. But this one is very simple for me. There is no way in the world I would give Jalen Hurts a contract extension this offseason. None. I mean, there's just no way that I would pay him more money right now and give him an extension. Because as I look at it right now, Hugh, The Eagles have an opportunity to let him prove it this year in a new system. New system, new offensive staff. Let him go out there and prove it. And you know what? If he has a bounce back year and he's great and he goes back to being one of the 10 best quarterbacks in football, which I don't think he was this year, then all right, and he's healthy, then pay him. Pay him, and he's the future of the franchise just the way everyone kind of assumed he was when the Super Bowl ended last year. So I'm not writing off his future at this point, but I'm also not locking myself into his future, not after the year he just had. So new system, number one, make him prove it. That's my first thing on this. Number two, at a lot of his career, most of his career, he was viewed as a dual-threat quarterback. Mm. I'm not sure he is anymore, and I need to figure out, number one, is he still a dual threat? I mean, he's gone from over 50 yards rushing per game to 26 per game this past year. If he's a dual threat, I need to see it again. And if he's not, I need to see him get better in the passing game. Otherwise, he's just a mediocre quarterback. So that is a big question I have before I pay him any more money. They also have kind of a get-out-of-jail-free card. If he continues to decline and they don't pay him this offseason, they could just get out of it next year and move on without any further cap damage. So It all points to do not pay him, do not pay him this offseason. And just based on last year, I can't in good conscience pay a guy that was 30th at success rate, 21st at completion percentage, 20th in yards per attempt, 22nd in QBR. He just wasn't good last year, guys. I mean, it's just the bottom line. It's hard for me to pay a quarterback that wasn't good last season. And my last thing on this is I have a simple rule. If I talked or I thought about benching you the last season, I can't pay you in the offseason. And I did think that. We did talk about it. I can't do it. Hugh Douglas, where do you come down? It is decision week here on WIP. If you're the Eagles, would you give Jalen Hurts a contract extension this offseason?
Boy, Joe, you took in a lot of air.
I didn't make the point, man.
No, I'm just saying, you made a strong point.
Call it a windbag?
I'm just saying, it was just a lot. Just taking it in
I
a
take
lot.
That from callers, and not I'm from just Hugh saying, Douglas.
It was like, You said it with a lot of bravado.
Well, because there's, you want bravado? It'd be organization malpractice to pay Jalen Hurts right now.
Like you had a plan. What's the plan B, Joe? What's the plan B? I'm gonna answer that. Answer me that first.
Plan B is to not pay him.
And then what?
And then if he takes
his ball and go home,
where's he gonna go? Where's he gonna go?
He can sit at the crib and chill.
He's gonna hold out.
He might feel disrespected. Okay. There's a lot at play here. Now, I understand your premise, and the timing would be not great for me as if I'm the owner of the Philadelphia Eagles. Mm. But the bottom line is this. And if he has a good agent, they're going to ask for more money in the offseason.
I agree with you. They probably will.
If I was handling this situation, I would try to slow. I'm not going to tell him no. I hear what you're saying, and I'm with you to a certain extent. But I'm not going to draw that hard line that you just drew.
No,
because you know, all that bravado, you know, you run the risk of making him upset.
Oh, no.
You run the risk of making him upset.
Oh, no. We're paying you $51 million. You're so upset.
Wait a minute.
Oh, no.
The reality of the situation is this. Did he play his best season last year? No, he didn't. But at the end of the day, Jalen Hurts gives you the best chance of getting back to the Super Bowl, hands down. And with that being said, if he wants more money, I'm going to try to drag this out as long as I possibly can. I would tell his agent something to the effect, well, hey, you know, we got the draft coming up. We got some decisions we have to make. We would love to have this conversation. But let's table this for like the middle of the season. Or let's operate in good faith, because we did that. We've done that before. Let's operate in good faith. Give me some time.
So basically, you're doing the same thing I'm doing. You're just doing it.
But let's be honest, because I would tell him, let's be honest. It ain't like Jalen. Like, we believe in Jalen. I'm gonna start with that. Like, we believe in Jalen. But if we're being honest with ourselves, he didn't have the best season last year.
No way. Of course not.
Now I know that Jalen can get back to that championship form that he once showed just a year ago. So with that being said, we could talk about this. But I would like, if we do anything, I would like it to be closer to the season, if not in season.
So basically, you're just slow playing your no. Meanwhile, I'm in a no.
Yeah,
it's
like you're paying your credit card. You know what I mean?
I don't want to pay interest.
That major purchase. Sometimes you got to slow pay that bill.
Or you just pay it at once and you get it over with and you're done. No, this is a complete no for me. I mean, I think it would be a ridiculous decision by Howie Roseman to pay Jalen Hurts right now. There's uncertainty about his physical stature moving forward. There's uncertainty about how he'll play in this new system. And I look at it, and I have a real strong feeling he's in decline. So I need to see him prove me wrong on that. And if he proves me wrong and he has three, four, five more years left of good football, then I'm happy to talk about this next offseason after I see him in the new system, all that kind of stuff. But to pay him right now, before you even know he could play great in this new system, it would be malpractice.
See, this is the problem.
What's the problem?
Sam Darnold about to get paid. Mm-hmm. He's about to get paid again.
Well, maybe. Maybe you're right.
And if I'm Jalen, I mean, I'm not counting anybody else's money, but his agent's job is to make sure that he's considered one of the elite quarterbacks in the league, which he's played. He's earned that. Regardless of how you feel about him as a player this year, he's earned that. Let's just call it what it is. He's earned that. Mm. So he's going to go in and say, hey, you know, Sam Darnold making more money than me. And they're going to say, oh, okay, well, he just won a Super Bowl. Well, so what? So I would try to slow. I wouldn't tell him no. I would not tell him no, but I would try to slow play.
So that could happen. And if that happens, obviously that adds an element to this. Right now, actually, Sam Darnold makes about $18 million a year less than Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, he's about to jump him. Doesn't Brock Purdy make more than Jalen?
They're about the same. About 50, okay. 50 or so million okay. a year. 51, whatever.
Yeah, he need to get paid.
Yeah, he does not need to get paid. He's coming off a tough year. I mean, he didn't.
He didn't play well. I'm saying as his agent. If I'm his agent, yeah, he needs to.
But here, I'm thinking about this from the Eagles' perspective. You know, Jalen Hurts could want money. His agent could ask. That's their right as an athlete and as an agent. And I mean, his agent, she should look out for him. I'm looking out for the Eagles. I think it would be a disaster to pay Jalen Hurts this offseason off the year he just had. Let's see if he bounces back. And if he doesn't, they can move on after next season. 215-592-9494. There's also the specter of the system, right? It's a new system. We don't know if Jalen Hurts is going to play well. Maybe he will excel in this. Yeah. Maybe he won't. So
that's why I would try to slow play it.
Well, yeah. See, you're just kind of, you're half knowing him. I'm full knowing him
right now. No, you can't full know
him. Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
That's Howie's job. I can. I'm not an agent. I'm just a guy on the radio.
I mean, you can always change that. Right? Like saying a hard no now doesn't necessarily mean at the end of the season you have to stay with
him. That's what I'm saying. Like right now, say, hey, let's revisit this during the regular season.
Well, you could do that.
Yeah. The Eagles don't typically extend players during the season.
They've gotten away from that. Yeah, they used to.
Yeah, that used to be the case. Yeah, it used to be like way back in the day. But yeah, to your point. But I would try to slow play it.
Yeah, but then when is it an okay time to open up the conversation? He has a big week one now. He has a bad week two. No, like that to me that's the slippery slope. Let's hear Greg Cosell talking about the new system and how Jalen's going to play in it.
Do you think that he can thrive in this Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur type of system?
You know, it's funny. I wouldn't have thought so necessarily based on the way in which he plays, what his strengths are and his limitations are. But they obviously believe he can, or they wouldn't have done what they did. Now, I think it'll be a work in progress. I think it'll take some time. You know, what they probably hope is that Jalen is open to it. We know sometimes he can be stubborn. That's his personality. But they wouldn't have done this if they didn't believe that he could thrive in it. Because they're not hiring people because they think Jalen Hurts can't play in it. So, you know, it might take some time. It's a brand new offense. The terminology is different. The methodology is different. The way it's taught is different. But he's a veteran quarterback. He's had success in the league. They believe he can do it. Let's wait and see.
Well, so, I mean, I think one thing that Greg said there's interesting is believe and think are different than know, right? So you could believe and think he will, but none of us know yet. And I don't think the Eagles know yet how Jalen will play in the new system. He could play excellent. He could struggle. And I need to know before I pay the guy to play in that system for years to come. There was also this, and this is in my mind as we talk about Jalen, his future. Jeff McClain last week on his podcast talking about the changes and it's time to get on board or get out.
Evolve is you used it and Nick Sirianni used it. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with the quarterback, a lot of it. And, you know, they're basically signaling to not only Jess Stoutland and the coaches, and we've now seen it, you know, with Mahaffey coming in, that Jason Michaels will be out as tight end coach. It looks like Scott Loeffler, quarterback's coach, will be out. I wouldn't be surprised if Aaron Moorhead, the wide receivers coach, doesn't come back either. But it's like, hey, get on board, or we're moving along. And that's, you know, that's not just the coaches, but that's going to be Jalen Hurts, and that's going to be a lot of the other players as well.
I find that it would be harder to do, Hugh, if they pay him. Like, if you're implementing a new system and it's get on board or we're moving on, well, if you pay the guy before he even takes the first practice in the new system, well, that doesn't, you can't really move on then.
Yeah, that's why it's kind of, the timing is tough for everybody.
Yeah.
like I said, if I'm his agent, I'm asking for some more money. I mean, I gives a damn about what the Eagles have going on. My job is to take care of my client. That was the line that I would take. But with that being said, there are ways you can work around this. You could operate in good faith and tell them we'll revisit this, or you know, right now is not the time. We're trying to implement this new offense. And if you're trusting what the Eagles are saying, and I'm pretty sure Howie's a good negotiator, and they've built a rapport throughout the season. And plus, you don't want to burn those bridges. So I think that there will be some conversation had about it. It might be tabled, but I don't think you should shut it down.
Yeah, I would completely shut it down right away. There's just no way I'm paying him after the year he just had. 215-592-9494. Also, I have to pay the defensive players. We have a whole defense about to get paid in the next year or two. I'm not giving any more money to the quarterback. That makes $51 million the way it is.
Not an MP. That's the way most teams. We just said it. Sam Darnold about to get paid more money.
I don't know if that's true.
I think it is, and yeah. I think that. Yeah, we're recklessly speculating. I give you that. We're recklessly speculating, but.
Well, I would say this. If the Seahawks are smart, they wouldn't pay Darnold a dime more. The reason they're so good is they are only paying him $33 million instead of $60 million. To me, it's an advantage they have. Why? If I'm them, I don't want to lose that advantage before I have to lose that advantage.
Because it's the optics of everything. It's you paying because of what he's done for you. Same way you paid Saquon last year.
I hated that.
But that's what you do, because when you do stuff like that, Joe, it makes going to Philadelphia more attractive, because guys see that and they're like, "Oh, okay, yeah. they take care of their people."
I think that's how teams lose. The Eagles made a mistake paying Saquon again. They made a mistake.
It's a balancing act, right, no question about that.
I agree with you on that. It's
a balancing act, Joe. But you have to do that, because here's the thing: just like Seattle, for instance, Sam Darnold won the Super Bowl. He's making probably $20-30 million a year.
33, yeah.
He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. His salary should go up. Now, I'm not saying that they should give him a ton of bread, but you do that in good faith, because now when you do that and other players see that, oh, they take care of the players in Seattle just the same way they do here. I get it, exactly what you're saying. The year that Jalen had, the situation that we're in, we shouldn't be paying anybody because nobody performed to that level. But we don't go anywhere without Jalen. We don't go anywhere without Jalen.
Unless he's not. I mean,
and we don't have a plan B. What's the plan B?
Well, right, but I don't know. Right, if you ask me right now, am I sure Jalen Hurts is the Eagles quarterback in 2 years? I am not.
Okay, well, are you sure that he isn't, though? That's the dilemma.
No, but he's under. I'm with you. I'm not sure he isn't, but he's under contract. I don't have to make these decisions today.
You don't. That's why I'm slow playing.
I know you are.
I'm trying to kick
and,
it down
and I'm,
the road.
I'm just saying. Please.
I'm not trying to shut it down, because you remember that. Remember when? Remember Jay Cutler? Remember when he was at Denver?
Yeah.
I don't remember the exact story, but I think they tried to get another quarterback or something happened. And Jay Cutler got wind of it before the deal was done. The deal fell through.
Yeah.
And the relationship was done at that point, and he was not coming
and
back.
The Broncos were better for it.
But you got rid of him. Matt Ryan. Yeah. Same thing in Atlanta. Well, when he got wind of them trying to get Deshaun Watson, I should say. He was like, "We got to go. I'm out."
How about how Jalen got his job here? He was the other guy.
He was the head.
They had a quarterback.
But he was the head.
Okay. I'm asking you, who is a feasible plan B for Jalen not being here?
Well, I don't know. Maybe we draft a quarterback.
That's what I'm saying. If you draft a quarterback, you're not winning the Super Bowl. We're not talking about.
Well, I don't know. That's not necessarily true.
We don't know that.
If they draft a quarterback, they're not winning a Super Bowl.
If we draft a quarterback and he's
round,
the starter.
No, not starter. Jalen's the starter this year.
Yeah, no, Jalen was drafted in the second round and had to wait a year.
We're under the premise that Jalen, I'm operating under the premise. I'm sorry, you're right. I'm operating under the premise that we told Jalen no and he's not happy.
What is he going to do about it?
And he sits out.
He's going to sit out.
I'm just saying.
No, but when's the last time a player sat out for a season?
I'm being hypothetical.
Okay.
I'm being hypothetical in this situation. Mm-hmm. What's the plan B? Or if Jalen's not happy?
Are you drafted QB?
Okay, you're not going to the Super Bowl. I'll say it again.
with the backup quarterback.
Right.
You're saying with a backup QB and Jalen's not playing.
Yes.
You're not probably not.
Okay, that's the point I'm making.
But hold on. What are they going to the Super Bowl anyway this year? They look like they're a team in transition.
Does Jalen give you the better chance of going to the Super Bowl
right
when
now
he's on the field?
Right now, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. You don't have a plan B.
To me, it's a big leap that he wouldn't play.
Yeah, if they don't pay him. I mean, it is. Yeah. But everything that we're doing right now is hypothetical. Yeah.
Also, if he sits out, I mean, we're we're what we call SOL. Like, I mean, in terms of winning the Super Bowl this season, so that's spilt milk.
But he doesn't get a dime if he sits out.
But the point that I'm making is that you don't want to make him upset, so that becomes an option.
I hear you, but the team is more important than his happiness. Yeah. Like, they already paid him. Like, he's not making peanuts. He's making $51 million a season.
I think it's bad business to pay somebody as a thank you. Like, you always, when you're doing these contract extensions.
You already set the precedent.
Well, you're right. But I think that's a bad precedent to set.
And I think we
saw the downside of it. Saquon fell off this season.
And that's why. Because of everything that you just said, you gave Saquon a thank you. You gave him a thank you check.
Just because I made a mistake once doesn't mean I have to go make it again.
But if I see that as a player, and I see what some people are, I mean, because it's not, Jalen's not going to be the bad guy in this situation. It's going to be his agent. So her job is to make sure she does everything she possibly can for her client. She gives a damn about the Eagles.
That's wonderful for her, but I'm operating from an Eagles fan perspective. I give a damn about what helps Jalen Hurts be financially secure over the,
You can't shut that conversation completely down.
I have to do what's best for the team. And this, I'm following the messaging, reading the tea leaves, as you like to say and do. Mm-hmm. Get on board or get out. First of all, this is a transition year for not just Jalen, Nick Sirianni too. Everything underneath these two guys is shifting, like seismically. And if they're not on board, this could be we could have a new head coach next season.
Yes.
Which, by the way, that's now two head coaches you have in here that did not pick Jalen Hurts as their quarterback.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that makes the future muddy with Jalen Hurts. Just the fact that Jalen Hurts himself has to prove that he can run this thing. This shift that they're making with the offense, like, he can be the front man of that.
Yeah.
He hasn't proven that.
I just look at it. To me, there's a lot of layers to this, right? There's the angle Hugh's bringing up with the other players and thank yous and money and stability. And if he's upset, that's a fair element to bring up. Maybe his agent wants it. There's the Eagles element to it. And then there's just the bottom line of how good is the player going to be moving forward?
Yeah.
I have a strong feeling he's in decline. Now, it doesn't mean he can't play as a starting quarterback in the league for the next few years, but I don't think he's getting better. I don't think he's going to be an MVP candidate ever again, and I think that his best days are behind him. So with all those things out there, I think it'd be malpractice to pay him again, because then you're just going to hurt yourself if you have to move on in a year or two. On Decision Week, Hugh Douglas, we got to discuss A.J. Brown. And today isn't so much a discussion of do you think he'll be back and blah, 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 what they get for him and ramifications of a trade. That's all for Howie Roseman. Today is about you and us and everyone in this fan base. Do you want him back? It is as simple as that. And a lot goes into that, right? You know, when you talk about a player, it's well, how good is the player? How good he'll be in the future? How much he costs? And really, I think for this one, what it comes down to is the juice worth the squeeze, right? Is he worth the headache? And he's become a headache. Let's call it for what it is. I'm looking, how quickly we forget. He says a few nice things last week at the Super Bowl, and we forget this one from Bleeding Green Nation just a few weeks ago. Sources, A.J. Brown asked for a trade numerous times this past season. So in the last year, let's unpack a calendar year, right? It was right around exactly 1 year ago today that A.J. Brown put out his Instagram post Super Bowl win and said that's not really what satisfies him. It's dominating his matchup. He told us what he's about, and that's fine. He can be whatever he's about. But he's not about team success. He's about his success. And as this offense has evolved, that has become harder to happen for him, and he has not been happy. I don't want A.J. Brown back. I don't think the juice is worth the squeeze anymore. He is a very good player. I don't think he is quite a top five receiver anymore. I think we're at a point now where the Eagles could get good value for him. And as time goes on, if he has more hamstring injuries or knee injuries, they'll probably get less for him. I want to create a bidding war. I want to trade him now. I do feel that it became a headache. I mean, multiple trade requests, the using me but not using me post. I mean, it went on and on last season with him to the point where I think it became a distraction. And I started to wonder if it impacted the offense in a negative way. Like, they were looking pretty good at one point, throwing the ball all around. And Devontae Smith's getting a lot of targets. And all of a sudden, A.J. started talking again, and the ball went more to him. New offense. I want to give Jalen Hurts the opportunity to grow within that offense without A.J. Brown. Hugh Douglas, we got a lot to discuss today. But where do you come down on this decision week? I'm out. I do not want A.J. Brown back on the Eagles.
I want him here. You know what? It's funny. And I'm gonna play a little bit of semantics, but I'm gonna do it a little bit. Yeah, but it's amazing how the narrative has been painted for AJ being a malcontent
narrative
and all the other stuff. Now listen, he's a lot. I'm not gonna deny that.
Yep.
But not once did he call out any of his teammates by name. We all recklessly speculated when he said what he said.
He said that the Eagles were a bleep show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
all his teammates.
Okay. So this offseason, with everything that has transpired, you don't think that that's the case? You don't think that there was a bleep show going on over there? You know, when you're talking about Jeff Stoutland, the running game getting taken away from him, the way that he handled his exit with the Philadelphia Eagles, the fact that we've had so many coaches leaving and Kevin Petullo telling everybody it ain't really his fault.
So are you saying he's right?
Was he wrong?
No, but is it his place to do this publicly?
No, it's not. Okay. It's not. And you never should air your dirty laundry in public. And we know that. AJ was disgruntled. AJ's a passionate receiver. But AJ's I'm gonna couch this one a little bit, amend this one just a little bit. At times, he's a fierce competitor.
Mm.
At times. Mm-hmm. Now, down the stretch, he didn't do too much of that.
Yeah, that playoff
but
game
I think,
was rough.
Yeah, but I think that was part of his frustration. His frustration with the offense, his frustration with the way things were going. Now, I know everybody's going to incite the fact that he made that tweet at the end of the year talking about he's never satisfied. And I was one of the ones that questioned that myself. So I'm not going to, you know, sit up here and be a hypocrite and say I didn't question it. But the more and more we got to know AJ, this is just who he is as a person. You know, he's a passionate person, and he wears his heart on his sleeve. I'm willing to take all of that for a happy AJ that has a high output. Now, I know you're going to say, well, he didn't have a great season. When there were games where he flashed. There were definitely games where he flashed, and he shown us that he could do some of the things that he did in the past. So with all that being said, if we're starting a new offense and I'm trying to get the most bang for the buck, I need him here in order to make this offense
come. Yeah, I don't want him here. 215-592-9494. I think time is now to move on. We've had it's really been multiple years of nonsense. I mean, they got through it. I mean, 2 years ago, in the middle of one of the best years of Eagles history, he's calling out the quarterback and the passing game within that season. Whether or not you agreed or not that he's right about the quarterback, to me, that's not harmonious, and it's not best as we move towards a new offense. And, you know, you mentioned that, you know, at times he's been upset or whatever. I think as time moves on, we forget how distracting it was. Can we hear back to some of that Jakey Rondo stuff from back during the middle of the season here? This is what A.J. Brown had to say, you know, about his team. And by the way, weren't they like at 8-2 or 7-2 at this point? They've one of the best records in the league. Here's A.J. Brown.
Hey, but look, everything been good, though. Like, you know what I'm saying? Everything been straight. You know what I'm saying? Mental good, kids good. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, let's go.
I mean, yeah,
where have you been?
No, I was just checking out. You my dog. Like, I still got, you know what I'm saying? I got to check up. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, family good, yeah.
Yeah.
Everything else, no.
Man, everything going to click, bro. Chat, chill, look. Everything going to click, bro.
This show.
There it is.
Hey, bro. Hey, bro. No, you got chat cracking up, bro.
Awesome. How you been? Yeah, struggling, brother.
That is a captain, ladies and gentlemen. That is a captain of the Philadelphia Eagles. Aaron, I mean, forget dirty laundry. Just making a bleep show. He made the bleep show out of the bleep show by doing that. It's not a captain-like behavior. It's not the behavior of a player I want on the Eagles anymore. And I think now is the time to move on. And let's not forget, that led to this. We talk about how this could look this year. We hope it gets better. It probably will just get worse. Here's Nick Sirianni after all the questions about that particular Jakey Rondo guy stream.
When you say it was kind of business as usual with AJ, I mean, his latest comments, I mean, made it seem like it's not business as usual. Like, how do you kind of reconcile that with him?
Yeah, guys, I'm close to being done answering these questions with this. Like, he's working hard, and he is a big part of this game plan, and it'll be a big part of the game plan going forward. And, he's working like crazy when he's here, and I'm excited to have him.
Yeah, I'm out.
Working like crazy.
Yeah, sure. I mean, Sirianni sounded like he was done with the whole thing, too, midway through the season. All right, 215-592-9494. And I have one more thing before we go to the phone lines, get Kyle's thought on all this. That is, it's just kind of in the back of my mind. I know that when we talk about the team, right, we just assume more talent, more name talent means better team, better production. I don't know if that's always true in football. And I think there is a scenario once in a while where addition becomes subtraction for teams, players, and maybe even when it comes to the passing game. And I have a couple things, Hugh, that are in my head, and I can't get them out of my head think about this scenario. The first one, and I already know what you're going to say and what caller's going to say. They're going to say, Joe, it was the Giants. It was one game.
One game.
The Eagles scored their most points this season when A.J. Brown did not play. It's been in my head the whole season. It's been in my head since that game. They scored their most points, and they played other bad teams. It wasn't like they played one bad team. They played the Raiders, played the Giants again. They played the Commanders twice. They scored their most points this entire season when A.J. Brown did not play. And Jalen Hurts had a 75% completion and 4 touchdown passes. So the idea that he needs A.J. Brown, I'm not really sure that's true. And the other thing that's in my head, and I think about the team that just won the Super Bowl, right? The Seattle Seahawks were coming off the Super Bowl. 1 year ago, the Seahawks traded away DK Metcalf, who was considered their number one wide receiver, their big play, big body wide receiver. And they said, you know what? We're going to take that cap space, invest it in the rest of the team. We're going to take that draft pick, draft a defensive player. And we think this young receiver we have, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, if we feature him more, he's ready for a jump. And I'm not trying to sit here and tell you that Devontae Smith's going to be the offensive player of the year next year. But Hugh, I want to throw a couple of numbers at everyone.
Throw them at me,
and
bro.
I want you to try to tell me who's who. Okay, I'm going to tell you wide receiver one and then wide receiver two, and you try to tell me who's who. Okay, wide receiver one, first 2 years in the NFL, 2,112 receiving yards, 13.3 yards per reception, 12 touchdowns. 2,112 yards, 13.3 a catch, 12 touchdowns. That's receiver number one. Second receiver number two, first 2 years in the league, 1,758 yards, 10.8 yards a reception, 10 touchdowns. So receiver one had more catches, more yards, more touchdowns in his first 2 years. Receiver two, slightly less. Do you know who those two receivers are?
I think the number one would be Devontae.
The number one would be Devontae Smith. Do you know who number two is?
AJ.
Number two is Jaxon Smith-Njigba. The first 2 years of Devontae Smith's career were better than the first 2 years of Jaxon Smith-Njigba's career.
Oh, look at you.
And then what happened in year three of Jaxon Smith-Njigba when he was featured? He became the offensive player of the year. I believe there's more to Devontae Smith, and I think if the Eagles get AJ out of here and make Devontae the one, there's another level. Again, I'm not trying to tell you he's offensive player of the year, but do I think he get to 1,400 or 1,500 yards if he's the guy? I do. I think the Eagles need to move off A.J. Brown. I don't want him back. And I want to see Devontae Smith as the number one wide receiver on this team. 215-592-9494. Quickly, Mike Garofolo, end of Super Bowl week, talking about the latest on the A.J. Brown trade stuff.
Look, there's been speculation about A.J. Brown being traded. I'll raise my hand. I've speculated it myself. And that speculation may wind up being true. But there's a difference between speculation and founded rumors, we'll call them. And right now, multiple sources involved tell me a couple of things. One, there's been no trade talks yet between the Eagles and some other teams. And there's been only brief talks with Brown's camp from the team. We do expect that to pick up around the scouting combine, which, Tom, reminder, is only 2 weeks away. I will say, though, that everyone says that A.J. Brown right now is in a good space, and just in my talking to him briefly, I got the sense that he was much more at peace and much more calm about things, maybe removing himself from the emotion of the situation. If they trade him, the Eagles be a $43.5 million cap hit, so they're going to want some significant compensation back if it gets to that, Tom.
All right, so you know what? If they can get significant compensation, I would do it tomorrow. 215-592-9494. Decision week rolls on WIP. Do you want A.J. Brown back? Kyle, what are you feeling as the Eagles have a big decision to make on this one?
I think we're letting our hearts creep up into our skulls a little bit.
Okay.
And cloud our brains. Like, I understand that we're staring at an offseason with a lot of question marks. The Lane Johnson, Landon Dickerson, A.J. Brown stuff. It looks like it's all falling apart. But doesn't have to be this way. It does not have to be this way. I mean, like, first of all, there's just there's the aside of, like, while I understand that the cap doesn't make it impossible to trade A.J. Brown, it does make it more difficult. And there's a turd that you would have to swallow, to use a Hugh phrase, if you want to get rid of A.J. Brown. And you're selling low. Like, he did not have a good season last year. And it's not just easy to replace a guy like A.J. Brown. Like, I feel like we get a little spoiled we forget about life before Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown and the kind of receivers that we had to deal with. And, like, it's hard to win that way. And it's hard for a quarterback and for an offense to look good that way. And, yes, he's annoying. That's where, like, the heart comes in. He annoys the living hell out of me.
He's really annoying.
But you mentioned it. He is a captain of the team, which is voted on by the players. You don't really ever hear Sirianni was annoyed because it got to that point. And right. And that's, you know, by extension, AJ's fault. But I don't think Sirianni has a bad relationship with AJ Brown. I don't think the teammates have a bad relationship with AJ Brown. Clearly, AJ and Jalen, they're not on great terms, but they've been able to get through it, win a Super Bowl together with the way the relationship is. I just think going into the season, in an ideal world, Jalen Hurts figures out this offense. He's the quarterback of the future. We have no doubts. We do extend him after next season. Like, and things start to look like the arrow's pointing up again. I don't necessarily know if it's fair to Jalen to put these kind of expectations on him, say this is a make or break season for you, and get rid of maybe his best weapon on the offense. Totally I don't think like that doesn't I don't see that working out
that
too
don't
well.
Track well for
and
you.
While sure you could argue that AJ Brown might be in decline, it's possible. Everyone on the offense, besides maybe Dallas Goedert last year, had a bad season. Mm. So, like, there is reason to believe that a new offense that figures out how to make AJ that target number one that he wants to be can make this thing work out. So, I guess what my plea to the people would be today, give peace a chance.
Yeah, we could try that. We can give peace a chance. I think you're right that our heads and our hearts are going to conflict today when we have this conversation. I also think time seems to heal wounds. We have this conversation after the janky Rondo stream and half the town wants him out, or three quarters of the town wants him out. Time has calmed things down. We haven't played a game in weeks and weeks. AJ just talked nice, right, when he talked down at Super Bowl week. And everyone thinks, oh, we can make this work. Let's not forget what last year was. Can I use AJ's phrase? It was a bleep show. It was a bleep show because he made it a bleep show from when they won the Super Bowl through the end of the season. I think we are totally tempting fate. And I don't think his value will ever be higher than it is now. Next year, he will be a year older. He will be closer to 30. I do not know if he will be healthy next season. Like, if you could tell me right now, and we'll get into it as the show goes on, that they can create some sort of bidding war between AFC powers and they could get a first-round pick for him, oh, man, I'm in. 215-592-9494. Do you want A.J. Brown back?
Yes.
On the Eagles next season? Yeah, I
yes.
do not.
Yes,
I'm out.
I do.
I'm out.
But it is decision week on 94WIP. Today's question that we're all answering, should Nick Sirianni be on the hot seat? Not is he on. We don't really know if he is. But should he be on the hot seat? I think he should. And I actually don't even think it's an indictment of Nick, the head coach. I think it is sort of an indictment of the entire situation. Here's why he should be on the hot seat. I want my head coach to provide stability. If he is going to be stable in his job, he has to provide stability. So I need to know what Nick Sirianni is doing for the Philadelphia Eagles to create stability. He does not call the offense. He doesn't call the defense. So in Seattle, I know there's some stability because McDonald is calling the defense. I feel like that is covered. There's stability there. In Los Angeles and San Francisco, I know those head coaches are calling the offense. I know no matter what flux is there, there's some stability there. Okay, so he's not calling offense or defense. He's the CEO head coach. Well, what does the CEO do? That can work. They run the organization. They hire everyone. But nobody here thinks that Nick Sirianni hired Vic Fangio. Nobody thinks he hired Kellen Moore. Nobody really thinks he hired Sean Mannion. So he's not providing stability there. So Nick Sirianni's job is really just going to be on the line every time they're not good, because that is a function of what his job is here. He is not the one who can fix anything. I think he is a good coach. I think he has had a lot of success here. But when I ask what his skill is that you would have trouble replacing, what is he doing to lift the team up to make them better? It's a very hard question to answer. So I think Nick Sirianni should be on the hot seat because he does not provide stability. So his job is not stable.
So I would say this to that. The stability that he provides is the fact that he's consistent and he's here. And here's the thing. It comes along with that, right? Nick Sirianni has a sort of role as head coach here that doesn't necessarily fit the same criteria that a lot of head coaches have around the league. Some head coaches have sort of this outline for what they do as a head coach without being the play caller, without having a – now, he does have a – he specializes in offense. He was a wide receiver coach and an offensive coordinator prior to being the head coach here. So he does have an offensive specialty that he can provide. And here's the thing. When adversity has arisen in some of these seasons, Nick Sirianni has been the stabilizing force. Not only that, but he's been a resource for solution to turn seasons around, right? He's been here, what, 6 years, 5 years, 6 years?
6 years.
He's been here 6 years. 21, they turned the season around there when he was amenable to giving up the play calling, right? First year head coach, you just brought him in. He could have bucked that, and it could have been an issue there, and maybe they fire him after the first year. Who knows? But he was selfless enough that Shane Steichen took over. That turned that team around. They found their way into the playoffs. The next year, they go to the Super Bowl. 2023, listen, things didn't go well. He couldn't necessarily find the solution to fix everything. I don't think he was necessarily completely to blame about that. The defensive personnel, the defensive coaches, particularly the coordinators on that side, contributed to a lot of what didn't go well in 2023. But he was able to withstand all of that. The firestorm that was around him after the 2023 season and get this team to the Super Bowl the following year. We know about the trials and tribulations that that season had, that Nick Sirianni, although he may not have the foresight to fix the problems, when presented with solutions and things that could turn things around, he was certainly open and flexible to doing those things. Not only that, he is the guy who's the front man to all of this. You may have smarter guys working behind the scenes in coordinator positions, other positions, but they don't necessarily have the ability to stand in front of this media week in and week out, in the face of storms, and not flinch. He's not throwing players under the bus. He's not throwing the front office under the bus. He doesn't necessarily seem to crack. Doesn't always have the right answers. But, I mean, I've seen a lot worse from head coaches that have been here. And so moving forward, when you have basically stripped him of all or a lot of his personnel coaching staff that he's brought in, and now he has to be flexible again with someone else's offense. How many head coaches are willing to do that and handle that? So, again, I'm not going to sit here and make the argument that he's the best coach in the NFL and you'd be foolish for moving on from him. That's not the argument I'm making. The question is, should he be on the hot seat? His resume says no. Without question, he should not be on the hot seat. This is what you've asked him to do again. Bring in someone else, allow them to take over from an offensive standpoint in their system, and your future and reputation hinges on that. Because he's going to get the blame if Sean Mannion doesn't succeed, right? If we're putting him on a hot seat, that means he's getting the blame if things don't go well.
But it's just sort of like a function of because he's not doing the things that would keep him off the hot seat. 215-592-9494. It's decision week on 94WIP. Should Nick Sirianni be on the hot seat? And I want to be careful here because I do think he's done a good job, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think he's a bad head coach at all. I think he's a good head coach. But you mentioned sort of like him pulling them back from the brink. When there's chaos, he's a stabilizing force. Mm-hmm. He's also been the source of chaos at certain times. Mm-hmm. There was the yelling at the fans in Kansas City. There was the yelling at the fans after the Cleveland game. There was the yelling at the fans in Buffalo. It was like, for a stable guy, he doesn't seem that stable.
Now, listen,
to be honest with you.
Wears his emotions on his sleeves.
Yep.
I'm not completely against that. We're a passionate city. I'm a passionate fan, former player. So I can't knock someone for outwardly displaying their emotions. And you got to have a better control of them. I totally agree with that. You're the head coach. You got to be in better control. I don't need the AJ get off the field thing. Even if you were irritated with AJ dropping passes.
Right.
I don't need you throwing fuel on something, creating another firestorm. That's mm-hmm. not what I need from my head coach.
This Jalen Carter one, too.
Yeah. Yes. Now, listen, yeah. It's, yeah. And so there are instances that are there. And, yeah. and but here's what I'll say. I'll take those because of all the other good things he brings to the table. All the other good things that he provides as a head coach. There's something about being able to be the face of a franchise, having to stand out there and answer all the tough questions when things aren't going well, and take all the slings and arrows while protecting everyone else. For me, along with the winning that he's done, that has earned him the right to not be on a hot seat.
Fair enough.
If anybody's on a hot seat, I'm going to be honest with you, and he ain't getting fired. It's Howie.
It's a different show, and I totally...
Well, I'm just saying, they made all sure. these changes to yes. the offensive staff and everything else. This is a Nick decision to do all this stuff. So it really should be on him and them if that doesn't work. Because that's not Nick's choice to do.
If you want a head coach with no power, it's hard to fire him for the decisions he didn't make.
That's what I'm saying. Everybody talking about him being on a hot seat is saying that based on the team's success moving forward. Well, if this thing doesn't even work moving forward, if AJ is still here and it doesn't work, that's the front office. If the offense isn't better than it has been, meaning that the players aren't performing, and we're questioning the offensive system, that's the front office. That's right. Not Nick. But you know who's going to be out there?
It's going to be
answering
Nick.
For it?
Yeah, it'll be Nick.
It's going to be Nick.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
As a man, finding a truly great pair of pants can feel impossible. Some wrinkle the moment you sit down. Others look fine but don't travel well, don't move well, or completely lose their shape throughout the day. When you're flying, commuting, or packing light, most pants just aren't built for real life.
That's why there's Jack Archer. JackArcher.com makes the Jet Setter tech pant designed to be the one pair of pants you actually need. Comfortable enough for travel, polished enough for work, and versatile enough for wherever the day takes you. The Jet Setter tech pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built for all-day comfort. With flexible stretch, customizable fit options, and thousands of five-star reviews, these are the pants you'll reach for every day.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order using code GETJACK at JackArcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at JackArcher.com for 15% off your first order.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's almost President's Day, and this year I've got a winning strategy for saving big. I'm skipping the phony sales and instead scoring everyday low prices on my favorite pieces from Bob's Discount Furniture. When I shop Bob's, I get more of what I love. More style, more storage, more comfort, more choices, even more years on that precious mattress warranty. All for a fraction of the cost of what you pay at other stores. So this President's Day weekend, stop in or shop online and see how much more you can save when you dare to compare at Bob's.
Get sweet deals at True North convenience stores when you join True Rewards. Save a dollar when you buy any two king or standard size candy bars. Get more Kit Kat Crunch, Milky Way Caramel, and more peanut M&Ms. Choose any of your chocolate favorites when you grab two king or standard size candy bars and save $1. Become a True Rewards member today and save on so much more. Download from the Apple app or Google Play Store for more details. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
It is the final day of decision week. Now, we have a big final day of decision week, as I've added some extra decisions I will make you guys choose from later on. We do have Elliot at 3. We will talk more about Nick Castellanos. We do have Tornado Shapiro's weekend forecast. But we start with the final topic of decision week, and that is, should the Eagles draft a quarterback? This, I think, is the most obvious answer of any of the days that we've done for decision week. Obviously, the Eagles should draft a quarterback. The Eagles always draft quarterbacks. Absolutely no one knows. No one knows. Even the biggest Jalen Hurts fan in the world has no idea how Jalen Hurts is going to adjust to what the Eagles want to do on offense. They have no idea. We have no idea if Jalen Hurts is ever going to run again. We have no idea if he's going to become a better passer. And if the answers to those questions is no, I don't know, the Eagles need as many solutions as possible as they can have if their future is not Jalen Hurts. Could they eventually trade for a big-name quarterback? They could. Could they eventually sign a free agent quarterback? Of course they could. But another way to get a quarterback is to have one in your system that you liked at the draft and you developed. And they need as many of those avenues as possible. So going into the draft this year, I really don't think it's controversial at all to say the Eagles should be planning for their future and they should draft a quarterback in the first few rounds. I just think it's basic stuff here, Ike.
You got it all out?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Okay. How many ways can I count the wrong in this idea of drafting a quarterback? How many ways can I count the wrongs in the idea of drafting a quarterback this year? First of all right, let's say they do draft a quarterback.
Yes.
Drafting a quarterback in a round higher than the fourth round is just a wasted draft pick. I would even say a fourth round pick with a quarterback is a wasted draft pick.
When you say higher, you mean lower, right? Like you mean fourth, fifth, sixth.
No, higher. When I say second round.
Oh, you mean really?
Yeah, they should not do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Didn't we just draft a quarterback, a young developing quarterback? What the hell happened to him?
Kyle McCord was on the practice squad.
I believe
he was a sixth-round pick.
Yeah, can't play.
Okay.
Can't play. That's one reason why you shouldn't do it. We just wasted a pick on a quarterback. We didn't get anything out of him. No offense to all the McCord family that's in the area.
Right.
I know he went to St. Joe's Prep.
Right.
Thank you
right.
for clearing
yes.
up.
Out there. No offense to the family.
Might have a good career. You never know.
The kid just caught a stray. Yeah. That's all. I'm cooking right now. Secondly, this is not a good year to be drafting quarterbacks. Just isn't. I mean, they got one quarterback in this draft, maybe two. The rest of these guys stink. I mean, the rest of these guys are destined to be backup quarterbacks. And when you're a career backup, it's a lot easier to recognize backups. That's why my eyes see a lot of career backup quarterbacks coming out in this year's draft. We don't need to be drafting backup caliber quarterbacks. It's not a good year for quarterbacks. Don't waste it. Thirdly, now this is the most obvious reason why you don't draft a quarterback, but I'm going to slow roll this one in here. Jalen Hurts is the damn quarterback. What is he, 26, 27 years old?
Yes.
Yeah, we don't need a quarterback. We don't need a quarterback. We don't need to create more of a uncertain atmosphere around the quarterback that's already here. Now, they were fortunate the last time they did something like this. I don't believe they drafted Jalen Hurts a year after they gave Carson Wentz the amount of money they gave him to replace Carson Wentz within a year. But you know what happened? They had to replace Carson Wentz within a year because, in part, you drafted someone that made him look over his shoulder. Eventually, his leadership at that position got questioned in the locker room. Throughout the city, he lost his hold on the team as being the face of the franchise and the starting quarterback. And from that point on, his career in Philadelphia pretty much was over. Now, You could say Jalen Hurts is more mentally tougher than Carson Wentz. I might even agree with that. Bottom line is every quarterback has an insecurity bone in their body. And when you start drafting guys that appear to be their replacement, you are asking for trouble. You are creating an atmosphere that says we're uncertain about this guy as the face of our franchise. And while you may be trying to motivate him to play better, in that sense, you're also creating doubt within the building, within the city, and now you're creating doubt in his mind as to how much committed you are to him as the quarterback moving forward, which is also part of the reason why I believe Wentz wanted out after that year. Let's not forget about that. I don't think it was the Eagles' choice to move on from Carson Wentz when they did. He sort of forced their hand because he wanted out, because he no longer wanted to be here. We don't need to do that with Jalen Hurts. He's a guy that's been healthy. With Wentz, I can understand where the questions come in at, health-wise, most importantly. We don't have that issue with Jalen Hurts. He pretty much plays 15 to 16 games a season. And here's the other thing. If you have some doubt about Jalen Hurts, which some people do, that would want to draft a quarterback, here's the final reason as to why I wouldn't draft a quarterback this year. I like Tanner McKee. Tanner McKee is in his fourth year. He's going to be a free agent after next year. If it's so important to have somebody in place, if Jalen doesn't work out, I feel more comfortable with Tanner McKee as that potential guy than I would anybody you would draft this year. So it's a wasted draft pick. You can address other needs on the team. You have a quality backup quarterback in place that if Jalen doesn't work out the way you want him to, Tanner is there if you believe in him like we hear the organization believes in Tanner McKee. And it'll be a lot cheaper to re-sign him, give him a deal that is structured with incentives and everything else, so you would still have a lowered price at the quarterback position while having a guy here that's been in your building for 4 years and would have already had a leg up on a year of learning Sean Mannion's system. There are so many reasons not to draft a quarterback and continue to invest in Jalen Hurts and getting the best out of Jalen Hurts. That doesn't mean create issues by bringing someone in here that he has to look over his shoulders. Continue to develop Jalen Hurts. He has a new system to learn. Let's roll.
215-592-9494. Decision week, today's question, should the Eagles draft a quarterback? Before we get to the calls, I just want to address a couple of things that you said there.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay.
The first thing you said was you think that drafting a quarterback will create doubt around Jalen Hurts within the building, within the city, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts has created doubt. Like, if Jalen Hurts was playing better, was passing better, was improving as a passer, was running, all that doubt, there wouldn't be any doubt. We wouldn't even be thinking about this. And if we picked a quarterback, that quarterback wouldn't be threatened because that quarterback would know, well, actually, I'm really, really good.
Well, it depends on what you're picking.
Well,
you pick him in the second round. You're raising everyone's antennas.
I think the doubt has been created by Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
That is okay. My first thing.
That's fine.
And the second thing is, as far as liking Tanner McKee or thinking that Jalen's the guy, my point is, I don't want to put all my eggs in any of their baskets. I don't want to put all my eggs in Jalen's basket. I don't want to put all my eggs in Tanner McKee's basket. I don't want to put all my eggs in the basket of, okay, we could trade for Joe Burrow after this year. I want as
many.
Well, I don't know. I don't know which one of these things is going to work, so I want to have as many possibilities as they can. That's why I like that they draft Kyle McCord. Did it work? No. It doesn't look like it's going to work, but it's worth a try. All these things are worth a try because you never know who's going to pop. You never know when you're going to get a Brock Purdy. You never know when you're going to get even Jalen Hurts. You never know when you're going to get a quarterback.
Jalen Hurts came in the second round.
Okay, so take a quarterback in the second round.
He's a Heisman Trophy finalist.
So take a quarterback in the second round then.
No.
I
need a cornerback. I need a wide receiver in the second round. I don't need a quarterback to create issues here that automatically says we're preparing to fail. Is that what we're doing?
No.
We drafted Jalen Hurts in the second round, and we went 4-11-1.
You see it as preparing to fail. I see it as preparing to succeed. I can't know, you know, Howie Roseman's job is to look at the next 3 to 5 years of Eagles football and say, how are we going to succeed? And you need as many, and that is the most important position, we've all agreed, and you need to have as many possible opportunities to win at that position as you have, and drafting a quarterback is one of them.
They were fortunate that it worked out that Jalen Hurts is the quarterback that he's become. They were fortunate. There's nothing that will ever convince me that they envisioned Jalen Hurts taking over for Wentz and leading him to a Super Bowl.
And if they hadn't taken that shot, it would have never happened.
But I think part of that was because Wentz got injured again. And so that was frustrating to a lot of people.
Sure.
And I get it.
Yeah.
I didn't like the pick, but I at least I can understand from their perspective of he's injury prone. We got to have somebody in place that if in a year or two they need to take over because he can't stay healthy, we've at least developed somebody. I'm saying Jalen wind up taking over sooner than they expected him to take over, and they wind up having to accelerate after 2021, which was a rebuilding year.
Yep.
We saw that was a developmental year. They said we got to upgrade the talent on the team. They did that in 2022, and it's been on and popping ever since then. We don't have that in position other than can a Tanner McKee turn into that guy? Because he's been here. Can he turn into that guy? And that's why I'm saying at least I have him on the roster already, and I like Tanner McKee. I don't like the quarterbacks coming out in this year's draft, so I'm not about to force a draft pick on a quarterback that I don't think has that type of a ceiling. If your ceiling is your backup, then I don't need to waste a pick on you. I can go get a backup. I have a great backup on my roster already. Unless I'm taking someone that I feel like can be the starter, if Jalen doesn't work out, it's a wasted pick. We got way too many other issues. Offensive line, wide receiver, cornerback, tight end if we don't bring Dallas Goedert back. Talk to me.
215-592-9494, the final day of decision week. Should the Eagles take a quarterback in this year's draft? I say yes. Ike, of course, says no.
You've been listening to the best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94WIP.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
As a man, finding a truly great pair of pants can feel impossible. Some wrinkle the moment you sit down. Others look fine but don't travel well, don't move well, or completely lose their shape throughout the day. When you're flying, commuting, or packing light, most pants just aren't built for real life.
That's why there's Jack Archer. JackArcher.com makes the Jet Setter Tech Pant designed to be the one pair of pants you actually need. Comfortable enough for travel, polished enough for work, and versatile enough for wherever the day takes you. The Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built for all-day comfort. With flexible stretch, customizable fit options, and thousands of five-star reviews, these are the pants you'll reach for every day.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order using code GETJACK at JackArcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at JackArcher.com for 15% off your first order.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Get sweet deals at True North convenience stores when you join True Rewards. Save a dollar when you buy any two King or standard size candy bars. Get more Kit Kat Crunch, Milky Way Caramel, and more peanut M&Ms. Choose any of your chocolate favorites when you grab two King or standard size candy bars and save $1. Become a True Rewards member today and save on so much more. Download from the Apple app or Google Play Store for more details.
True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.